Produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George, Health First is available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
We have Susanna Meadows with us today. She's written the book, The Other Side of Impossible. And it's a fascinating book about what happens when you're kind of at the end of your road with any kind of medical help and you think that's it. Just a great book. Welcome, Susanna.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, it's good to have you on the show. So what caused you to write this book? The Other Side of Impossible.
It started with a personal experience. My son, when my son was three, he was diagnosed with an autoimmune arthritis that we were told he would never recover from. And he did not respond well to the medication that made him feel sick, and it didn't do much for his arthritis. And so as I watched him lie on the couch, this little three-year-old boy, I just could not except that this was going to be his life. I could not, I was not content with the options that were given to us for helping him. And so I looked beyond what our doctors had to offer. And so that was sort of the beginning of the exploration into what else there might be that could help him.
What was his prognosis, diagnosis?
What's that?
I say, what was his prognosis? Did they give you any hope as far as him being able to heal?
No, we were told that it was very unlikely that he would outgrow it. Mm-hmm. He had a kind that's called juvenile idiopathic arthritis, the polyarticular kind, which is when five or more joints are affected. And children with that type of arthritis tend not to outgrow it ever. And so we were contemplating a lifetime of fighting this, and a lifetime also of taking very serious medications that came with troubling side effects, including increased risk of lymphoma. And it was so worrying to me that I wanted to see if there might be something else. And what ended up happening was that we heard about another woman who'd had luck with her own son when she changed his diet. And so we thought, you know what, let's talk to our doctor about it. Let's see if it's safe. And once we did and he was fine with it, we gave it a shot because we weren't, there was really nothing to lose. You know, we weren't taking any risks. We were just going to see if this helped him. And 6 weeks later, he woke up. My son woke up and got out of bed for the first time himself for months. I'd been going in and helping him out of bed. And he got out of bed himself and he said, Mommy, my knees don't hurt anymore.
Wow.
And so, you know, it's impossible to say what it was that made him better. Maybe the medication kicked in late. But we were then able to take him off medication and he has been totally fine ever since. It's been 6 years. And so it felt to us that, you know, there was a good chance that this experimental diet had been the thing that helped him. And so I wanted to write about it because I thought, gosh, this might be able to help somebody else. And so that was the beginning. And then the book contains stories of other families facing different diseases that are supposedly incurable who have found answers for themselves, including food allergies, multiple sclerosis, autism, rheumatoid arthritis. So it was an eye opener for us to realize that there might be something that could help people that they might not know about.
Yeah, how is your book being received? Are you getting a lot of connection with people that had lost hope?
You know, it's been wonderful. The most gratifying response has been hearing from readers who have gotten something out of it. When I first wrote about my son's story in the New York Times Magazine, I heard from people who then tried what we did and then wrote to tell me that they had had success. And that it's just been incredibly gratifying, especially because going into it, I thought, geez, if there's one person who could be helped by this story, then I've done my job. So I feel very satisfied by that. And one of the other nice surprises has been from doctors who have responded very warmly to the book because, they're as frustrated as patients are that there aren't good answers for people. And so the sort of exploration into what else might help people has been received well by them.
Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about the changes that you made with your son.
So we took gluten and dairy out of his diet, and we gave him high doses of omega-3s, which are in fish oil, and are known to be anti-inflammatory, because as we know, arthritis is a kind of arthritis he had. The autoimmune kind is an inflammatory disease, so his body was attacking his joints and causing inflammation. So we were looking to limit inflammation. So we gave him probiotics, which are... The reason we did that was that I'm sure you're aware of the new research coming out about gut bacteria and how if you have a population of gut bacteria that is not in good shape, and Shepherd, our son, had recently had a lot of antibiotics, and as you're well aware, I'm sure that can wipe out your both good and bad gut bacteria. And so we wanted to build that up because that can be related to inflammation. And so we gave him probiotics. We took gluten and dairy out of his diet for the same reason. We had our eye on anything that might be anti-inflammatory, and gluten and dairy can be inflammatory in some people. And we took a couple other foods out, and then we ended up adding them back in and didn't see that there was any difference, because for some people there's this family of plants called nightshades, and that can bother some people, tomatoes, peppers, potatoes. And so we thought, well, we might as well try that too. So we took those out. And so it was really just we don't know that much about food sensitivities. The science is not there. And so the only thing you can really do is to take foods out and then add them back in to see if there is any change. Take them out for several weeks and then add them back in to see if there's any change. Mm-hmm. And so that was sort of how we operated.
And he's carrying on this regime today?
So he is now eating a normal diet again. One of the most interesting parts of the book was reaching out to researchers to try and find some explanation for why Shepherd got better. And so one of the first people I called was a celiac disease researcher at Mass General. And I said to him, you know, does this make any sense to you? My son had arthritis. We took gluten out of his diet, and then he got better. Is there any explanation for that? And he said, oh, yeah, I see it all the time. Mm-hmm. And so it was, and he explained to me this whole mechanism of having a hyperpermeable gut lining and how substances are getting into the body that shouldn't. And one of the exacerbating factors can be gluten. And so he said it makes sense that you took gluten out of his diet and that that sort of settled things down. And then he went on to explain that people can, once their kind of gut environment recovers, they can go back to eating normally. And so Shepherd continues to be fine eating everything. So it was really, and then there's another piece of information that I found very compelling as I was doing the research. There's a study in England where they looked at 400,000 children, the records of 400,000 children, medical records, and found that if you have had antibiotics, your risk of getting autoimmune arthritis goes up. And the thinking was that it had to do with disturbing this bacteria, which we're learning is just such a fundamental part of our health. I mean, researchers talk about it as another organ. And so I wanted to sort of get that message out about how fundamental bacteria is for so many, for all of us.
Mm-hmm. So you've learned so much through your son's disease.
I really have. And it was, I wouldn't have gotten here had I not been in this position of feeling desperation, honestly. Mm-hmm. I think that it took feeling desperate for me to start to ask a lot of questions. And because as a journalist, you know, you would think that I'm a reporter, and you would think that sort of asking questions would come naturally, but and it does. But when it came to initially when he was diagnosed, I didn't ask a lot of questions of his doctors. I was I just sort of took them at their word and didn't understand at the time, and now I do, that while they know more about disease than I ever will, they may not know everything about the disease, and that there are other places to look, including just in the medical literature. You know, it's very hard for a doctor to keep up with everything that is published. And so I eventually, you know, once we kind of got going, I was able to kind of get my feet on the ground again and start to really pursue answers in the way that I would if I were working on any story. But I think it really took being desperate for me to push that hard.
Yeah, fascinating. You had your whole heart in it when doing all the work.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and because, you know, I think we as parents are the only ones who are willing to do that. I mean, we can be that dedicated. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you are doing your job as a physician, you have many patients to care for, and it's a different thing, I think. And I think that desperation and maybe stubbornness, can be a potent driver.
Absolutely. So when somebody in your family is sick, it really affects the whole dynamics and the whole family. The whole family are involved. You can't just have one sick person and have everybody else go about their normal day.
Yeah, and that was a story I wanted to tell too, because I certainly had not understood it before I went through it, and I thought this was something that needed to be told. As I profiled these other families, and even as I wrote about ours, I wanted to show how it was all-consuming and how it affected family dynamics, how it affected marriages, how it affected siblings. And it has a profound effect. I mean, my son, Shepherd, has an identical twin who I think probably more than Shepherd has some scars from that period, because when you have a child who's sick, it is impossible not to be totally focused on that child. Mm-hmm. Even if you're aware I was perfectly aware that I needed to work extra hard to make sure that my other son did not feel that we were focusing on Shepherd, but children absorb what they absorb. And so we were lucky in that it didn't last for too long, and that Shepherd eventually recovered. I think that it is really hard on everybody.
Susanna, we're going to have to go to a quick break. When we come back, let's talk about some of those other families that are in your book.